So we prepare our hearts for worship this morning. Hear these words from Philippians chapter 4. From the Apostle Paul, as he writes these words, he's sitting in a prison cell. And so you would not see that as very favorable circumstances. And yet here's what Paul says. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to everyone. The Lord is near. That's why we can rejoice. Do not worry about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Would you pray with me? And so, Jesus, this morning, we have reason to rejoice. Even in a season where the darkness creeps in, even in a season where many of us feel tired, weary, stressed, we have reason to rejoice, for our Lord is near. Our Jesus has come, and he is coming again. And until you come again, O Lord, you have given us the gift of your Spirit to empower us, to sustain us, to give us peace, to give us hope, to give us joy for the living of these days. And so this morning, as we sing to you and as we lean into your word, O Lord, would you fill our hearts with joy again and again and again? And would you send us from this place to be a people of joy, contagious with your goodness in our community, in our world? We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. If you will open your Bibles to Luke chapter 1, starting in verse 26. Luke chapter 1, verse 26. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a town in Galilee called Nazareth, to a virgin engaged to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and said, "Greetings, favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was much perplexed by his words and pondered what sort of greeting this might be. The angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And now you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you will name him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give to him the throne of his ancestor David. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I am a virgin?" The angel said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be holy. He will be called Son of God. And now your relative Elizabeth, in her old age, has also conceived a son. And this is the sixth month for her who was said to be barren. For nothing will be impossible with God." Then Mary said, "Here am I, the servant of the Lord. Let it be with me according to your word." Then the angel departed from her. Living God, here we are, servants, children of the Lord. Let us hear your word, and let us receive your word, and let it be done in us according to your word. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Imagine you had all the money and all the power to live wherever in the world you wanted to live, and in any kind of home that you could possibly dream of, any person to live with as your roomies. Where would you live? What kind of home? Who would be in that place with you? Can you picture it? I think for me, it would be, of course, like a mansion of some sort. in the mountains, though, but overlooking the sea. I mean, why not have the best of both worlds, right? And I would be in a very short distance to a really cool big city, like Paris or New York City, somewhere like that. And who would I be with? My family and all of my closest friends in like a shared compound. Not the same house necessarily, but like in the same block or two or three or 10. And so we could have our space, but be together whenever we wanted. What would it be for you? If you could be anywhere with anyone, where would it be? Who would be with you? When the living God, the creator of heaven and earth, the ruler of the entire cosmos, decides to put on flesh and blood and move to earth, he can choose any place he wants to live. And he can choose any person he wants to be at home with. What is God looking for when he's looking for a place to stay? Who is God looking for when he's looking for a heart to hold him? The angel Gabriel is sent by God to the little town of Nazareth. It's not on the outskirts of any cool city at all. In fact, it's in the middle of nowhere. Born to a virgin named Mary. She's probably 13, 14 years old. We know through the story, because of being from Nazareth and because of the sacrifice she brings to the temple, that she is poor. She's really unknown besides to her own little family and maybe in her own little town. Greetings, favored one. The Lord is with you. The Lord is choosing you, Mary, to be the home for his son. The Messiah is coming, of whose kingdom there will be no end, and you will be the one to bring him to earth and to raise him up in this place. How can this be, she asks, for I am only a virgin. The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and this child will be called holy. He will be the Son of God. Mary, even right now, your old relative Elizabeth is pregnant. And God did that too. For nothing will be impossible with God. Amen. And Mary's response, here am I, a servant of the Lord. Let it be done to me according to your word. What is it that makes Mary a heart, a home that is ready to receive Jesus when he comes? When God's Spirit is looking for a home on earth nowadays, what is it that Mary has to teach us about the kind of home that God wants? When God is ready to do something new in this earth, who is it that he partners with? What does Mary tell us about what God's looking for, where God hangs out? Why Mary? Why? For one, we can say, well, she's young. She's just becoming a woman. Her entire life is still open to possibility. I mean, sure, Mary has dreams about how her life with Joseph is going to go. And sure, she has dreams about where she wants to live and how many children she wants to have and what she would love for the rest of her life to look like from this point forward. All of these 13, 14-year-olds, they've got some dreams. But these are still just dreams. There's really nothing that's holding her back. There's nothing that's tying her down just yet. I remember in my own life when I was a teenager and I was just starting to fall in love with Jesus. I remember there were nights that I would lay in my bed and I would say, Jesus, Jesus, I will go anywhere for you. I will do anything with you. I just want to spend my life with you. I just want to be close to you. I just want to make a difference for you. I'll do anything. I don't have any bills to pay yet. I don't have any child whose well-being I'm worried about. It's just me and Jesus taking on the world. And boy, did we have some grand adventures in my teens and in my 20s. Nothing else holding me back. When God's looking for a heart with room for him, he's looking for someone that still dares to dream, that still has margin in their life for new opportunities, not so full of debt and appointments and responsibilities that there's really just no room for him to squeeze in if he wanted to. God is looking for someone with some flexibility, someone who's able to say, you know, I had some dreams, but why not take on God's dreams instead? I'm not married to my dreams. God can have his in me. Is your life open to whatever God wants to dream through you? Whatever. You may say, well, I would have been if he caught me in my teens like he did to Mary. But I'm older now, and I've got a mortgage to pay. I've got kids to get through college. I've got a spouse who isn't going to be crazy about going anywhere with God with me. I am tied down now. And so God can dream his dreams through me, but they better be reasonable dreams. His biggest dreams are only for the ones that he catches when they're young. There's not so much holding them back. Interesting thought, except for the problem that the angel Gabriel throws Elizabeth into there and says, Mary, even your old relative, who tradition says was 88 years old, even your old relative is pregnant right now. Turns out I'm still dreaming through her too. She might say, well, God will make his homes, dream his biggest dreams in my heart, in any heart willing to make room for him. It is not about age. It's not about how much we have that we're responsible for. It's about how open our hearts are to God coming in and absolutely taking over the place. Is that us? Let every heart prepare him room. Why else does God see Mary's heart as a good place for his home on earth? Why Mary? She takes this visit from the angel seriously. You see, in the presence of the holy, Mary listens. She pays attention. She engages. She responds. We may say to that, well, whoop-de-doo. If the angel Gabriel showed up at my house today, started talking to me, I'd be paying attention too. And I hope that that's true. But if we're honest with ourselves, how often do we blow right by the holy in our midst? Because we're too busy, too distracted to be bothered by something else. This past Thursday in our Good Shepherd gathering, we were in the resurrection story in John. It's beautiful. And we looked at this resurrection story and talked about how Peter and John came running to the tomb, and they ran inside and they saw this laundry on the ground, and they looked around and they ran out. And then Mary Magdalene comes to the same tomb weeping. And she bows down and she enters that tomb and she sees that same laundry. But not just the laundry. She also saw two angels in that place. It was the same place. It was the same time. But what two just rushed past as ordinary, one takes time to bend down and to slow down. And there she sees that she is in the presence of something extraordinary. When God is looking for a heart that is ready to receive him, he is looking for one who actually takes the time to engage the holy in their midst. One with eyes and hearts that are open each day to actually see God's presence before us and to slow down and stand in awe of it. At the beginning of our story, we find Moses, and he encounters the living God because on his normal day out in the wilderness, he sees a bush on fire, which is a fairly normal occurrence probably, except this one was a bit different, and he dares to take the time to step away from his plans and to go and look at that bush a little closer. And from there, he heard God's voice. Someone willing to engage the holy moments in their everyday life. Elizabeth Barrett Browning, the famous poet, she said, "Earth is crammed with heaven, and every common bush afire with God. But only he who sees takes off his shoes. The rest sit around and pluck blackberries." God's angels, God's holy presence is in our midst every single day. Are we walking slowly enough to not just blow right by it? When we feel that tug at our hearts, the Spirit within us, are we open enough to recognize that is the Holy One in our midst and to respond to those whispers in our spirits? Is there enough quiet in our lives to hear God's voice when he says, "Don't be afraid. I've got something to tell you"? When God is looking for a heart for his Spirit to live in, he's looking for one who takes holy visitations seriously. Is that us? Let every heart prepare him room. Why Mary? Why is Mary chosen as the home for Jesus? Her response at the end of this encounter really says it all. Those first three words, "Here I am, here am I." It is a statement that says, "God, I hear you calling, and now you hear me responding." God is saying, "Marco." And Mary is saying, "Polo, here I am. I hear you, God. I'm right here, and I am ready to respond." Sometime when I hear my little boy Miles crying in his room, he's just waking up, and I know that it's dark in there, and he needs someone to come and to get him. Our hallway is not very long, but sometimes I can't even wait till I get in his room. Before I even get there, I find myself in the hallway saying, I'm coming. Here I am, baby. Here I am. I hear your cry. I'm on my way to respond to your need. Here I am." When God says, "My heart is longing, aching to do something new in your world," are we the ones rushing down the hallway saying, "Here I am, here I am, God. I am ready. I hear your cries. I hear your call. Here I am, here I am." Showing up to our God every day, that is a heart that is preparing him room. Bugs Bunny, every day, he wakes up and says, "What's up, Doc?" Right, exactly. Jesus people, every day, wake up and say, "What's up, God?" What are you up to today, God? How do you want to come to earth today, God? Here I am. Let every heart prepare him room. Have you told God, "Here I am," lately? I dare you to try it today. But lace up your shoes first, because it might get crazy. "Here I am." Then Mary says, "A servant of the Lord." You see, Mary's identity was found first, not in being Joseph's fiance, or whoever's daughter, or the most likely to succeed in bread making in Nazareth. Mary's identity was rooted first in her relationship to the living God. "Here I am, a servant of the Lord." She knew in her heart of hearts that she belonged to God. He alone created her. He alone called her for his good purposes to share in his heart with him. Mary knew, even at the tender age of 13 or 14, that her life was not her own. A servant of the Lord, a servant lives to please their master. Mary's identity is wrapped up in her life's desire to please her God. Her plans laid down for God's plans to move forward in her. What of your own dreams? What of your own plans have you laid down lately because God had other ones for you? When Jesus is looking for a heart to be his own, he looks for one whose identity is already all wrapped up in belonging to God and being his servant. That's who I am, first and foremost. Everything else comes next. Let every heart prepare him room. And then she says, "Let it be done to me according to your word." That whole little phrase could be reduced to one word. Yes. Yes. To all you want to do for me, God. Yes. To all you want to do through me, God. Yes. Here's my life, Lord. Yes to the ways that you want to change the world because of me. Yes. You see, Jesus people are yes people. My friends, when's the last time you said yes to God? Yes to letting God know he could do anything in your life that he wanted to do. Yes. When Jesus is looking for a heart that's ready to be his home, he is looking for a heart that is ready to simply say, yes. Jesus, you want to come here? Yes. Come on. Yes. Yes. It's just three letters. It's an easy word. Yes. Last Christmas, my parents were coming to visit us for the holidays, and we were so excited to have them. And so we started cleaning the house like a whole week in advance because it required baseboards and ceiling fans and all those things that we normally overlook. They got our attention because I wanted my parents to feel totally at home in our home, to know that we were ready for them. We prepared for them. We went into the guest bedroom and we got rid of all of the clutter. All of the stuff that had been thrown in that room over the months, it either got thrown away or finally put away. We wanted them to have room, plenty of room for their stuff in the midst of our stuff. We cleared our schedule for all the days that they were going to be here. I made sure that all of my work was done before they came so I could simply enjoy them. No appointments were made during those days. I would just say, I'm sorry, I'm not free then because I have company in town. And they were going to get our full attention. Before they arrived, I thought about the unique little things that they liked. And I stocked the fridge and the cupboards. And on the morning of their trip, I began texting because my parents are a little bit older, and I get worried about them going through multiple airports. Is everything okay? Did you wake up? Are you on time? Is your flight still on time? Let me know when you land. Let me know when you take off. Give me a minute-by-minute update of how you're doing. Then, when they finally arrived at our door that day, you better believe the lights were on. And we were at the front door, ready to greet them. Big smiles on our faces, and our arms are open. Come in. Yeah, you're finally here. Come in. We've got your room ready. Come and see it. Your favorite snacks, they're all out. What do you want? Let us take your stuff. Make yourself at home. We were thrilled to have them. And you can feel it when someone is really happy to have you around, can't you? We showed them where all the clean towels were. Just said, take what you need. Showed them the plates and the glasses. Make yourself at home. Whatever is ours is yours while you're in this place with us. And over those days, we dined together, and we laughed together, and we talked together. We went on adventures together, and we just enjoyed being together. You're like, that's not a very interesting story. I know, because we know this story, because that is what it's like when honored guests come to our home, is it not? Let every heart prepare him room. Jesus is calling. And he's coming for Christmas. How do we prepare room for him? The same way we do it for them. We start cleaning house. Not the baseboards. He doesn't care about those. But those things, those sins, and those habits that have kept him away all year long. We clean them out. John the Baptist, as he prepares the way for Jesus, his first call to everyone is to repent. He says, make way for the king by laying down all the obstacles, all the mess that keeps you from being at home with him. Lay it down, clean it out, make way. He's coming for Christmas. We declutter all of those things in our lives that push Jesus out. All those things that tell him that we are too busy, that we are too distracted to welcome him in. We get rid of it. We clear the schedule. We simplify our life so there's room for him in our home. My friends, if we are too busy to grow in our life and our love with Jesus this Christmas, then dare I just simply say, we are too busy. Take control of your life so that what's not giving you life, you can simply put it away. So you can say yes to the only one who can bring you true life. Declutter. Clear the schedule. He's looking for a home this Christmas. Get rid of the junk so he can find his place in us. Intentionally, we make time over the next 2 weeks to just be with Jesus. Put it on the calendar. Just as real as my parents coming to town, Jesus will be in my house at this day, at this time. Put it on the calendar so nothing else creeps in. Because you know this time of year, everything is trying to creep in. So write it down. And when you're gonna just be just you and Jesus, just hanging out with him in these days, and then when someone tries to plan something, say, oh, I'm sorry, I have company. Turns out that's not a lie. The most important company you could ever have. Clear the schedule. Prepare him room. Think about the things that Jesus loves and put those all around your heart and your home. My mom likes, well, she doesn't like, but she has to like sugar-free chocolate. My stepdad likes unsweet tea. When they found these waiting for them, they felt seen. They felt welcome. What is Jesus like? I don't think he likes unsweet chocolate, but I think he likes mercy and forgiveness and kindness and worship and compassion and love. Sprinkle those around. He'll find his home right there with us, and he will feel seen. He will feel known. Check in on him all day long. Jesus, where are you at now? Are you getting closer? How's it going? Any bumps along the way? Where are you now? And when he's ready to appear, be at the front door. Light on, beaming face, open arms. Jesus, I have been waiting for you. I've been preparing for this moment. I am so glad you are here. Come in. Let me show you your room. I've got it all ready for you. He will know when we are thrilled to have him. We know when people are thrilled to have us. Has Jesus seen our thrill in his presence lately? I hope it looks more exciting than this, but has he seen our thrill in his presence? We know when we're with people who are just so glad to be here with us that we may be those people to our Jesus. They just love when I show up. Jesus, everything is ready for you. Everything in this home is yours. You can use it. You can throw it out. You can change it. Make yourself at home. Can we say that and mean it? It's dangerous. It's dangerous. Think about it before you shout amen, because it's a big thing. But can he have it all? Can he take it all? Can he throw it all out and start again? With Jesus in our homes, we will eat together and we will chat together. And I tell you, we will adventure together. Welcome to my home, Jesus. Welcome to my friends' homes, Jesus. Let every heart prepare him room. Yes, beautiful. Jesus is looking for his home again this Christmas. Might it be with me? Might it be with you? How are we preparing him room? Would you pray with me? And so, Jesus, in each of our lives, there is at least one thing that we can do today, one faithful thing that we can do to prepare more room for you with us. Where we need to repent, lead us to repentance. Where we need to clear out the clutter and the busyness, help us have the faithfulness to say no to those so we can say yes to you. Where we need to be more attentive to your heart and sprinkle around our lives the things that you love so you feel at home with us, let it be so. To where we just don't check in, forget to ask where you are, how you're doing, when you're arriving. Help us check in this day, this week. And when you show up, let us be thrilled in your presence. All that's ours, dare we say to you, Jesus, it's all yours. Make yourself at home. Let it be so in us, we pray. Amen.